Oh, no, Bunch, please leave them closed.
Come along now, Aunt Jane.
Dr. Haydock said I was to take things slowly.
He also said that you're better now. Your fever's gone. You have to start getting back to yourself again.
Myself? Why would I want to go back to being that? An old woman.
Ah, yes. He said depression was a common after effect.
You are a very beautiful goddaughter, Bunch. But you should be back at the rectory with your husband. You've got your whole life ahead of you, whereas I
was wrong. What you need is to get out of yourself. Occupy your mind with something else. Why don't you look through your wardrobe and decide which clothes you want Miss Pollitt to alter? You've lost so much weight.
I don't want my clothes altering. I don't want to get dressed.
Well, what about this new book of Raymond's? He sent it specially to keep your spirits up.
Well, I can't think of anything more likely to make me depressed. His awful stories about unpleasant young men and women killing each other for no good reason. I'm sure it's all very modern, but I am not. I'm afraid I am hopelessly Victorian, past my time.
Oh, you make a start on the book. I'll be back in a moment.
Oh. The nylon noose. Mickey hates Cynthia. Cynthia hates Betty. Betty hates Mickey. Oh, there's only one way out of this deadly triangle of passion. Oh.
The book will have to wait. Miss Hartnell's here to see you.
Oh, tell her I'm too ill for visitors.
She won't take no for an answer. And I think you'll want to talk to her. Mrs. Spenlow's been murdered.
Lying on the hearthrug in the sitting room, in her kimono, strangled.
Would you like some tea, Aunt Jane?
Oh, no, thank you, Bunch. Go on, Miss Hartnell.
And of course I managed to keep my head. That Pollitt creature wouldn't have had the least idea what to do. Got to keep our heads, I said to her. You stay here and I'll go and fetch the police. One has to be firm with that sort of person. I've always found they rather enjoy making a fuss.
Yes, that can often be the case.
So, I was just going off when, at that very moment, who should come walking around the corner of the house but Mr. Spenlow.
How did he look?
Frankly, I suspected something at once. He was far too calm.
When you first saw him, or when he heard the news?
Oh, from the very first, and throughout. He didn't seem surprised in the least. And you may say what you like, but it isn't natural for a man to hear that his wife is dead and then display no emotion whatsoever.
Perhaps he was in shock.
Perhaps. It's more likely that he was thinking about the will. Money was all hers, of course. And she's left it all to him.
Oh, dear. That is suspicious.
No, Arthur Spenlow did it. I have no doubt in my mind. But for some reason, they haven't arrested him yet. Which is why I thought I'd pop in and see you. Inspector Slack said he's not taking any further action until he's spoken to Miss Marple.
Oh, Edna's out shopping. I'd better go and get that.
I don't understand. Why would Inspector Slack want to speak to me?
That's what I want to know.
It's Inspector Slack. He wants to see you.
What did I tell you?
Let me show you out, Miss Hartnell.
Oh, what? Right away? Oh, well, yes, I suppose so, if I must. You will be sure to tell me what he says, won't you?
Oh, I'm sure it's nothing. Thank you for calling. Now, tea.
A statement was made to me by Mr. Arthur Spenlow, husband of the deceased Dorothy Spenlow. He said that at 2:30, as far as he can say, he was rung up by Miss Marple and asked if he would come over at 3:15, as she was anxious to consult him about something. Now, Miss Marple, is that true?
Certainly not.
You did not ring up Mr. Spenlow at 2:30?
Neither at 2:30, nor at any other time. What else did he say?
That he came over here, as requested, leaving his own house at 3:10, but that on arrival here he was informed by the maidservant that Miss Marple was resting and not to be disturbed.
That part of it may well be true. Edna was instructed that I wasn't receiving visitors, at least until Bunch, Mrs. Harmon arrived and...